Okay. We'll continue on over in Galatians and Paul had real concern for the situation in Galatia and the Galatian churches there, and well, he might. And the things that were going on there. And even a certain amount of, you know, befuddlement or confusion. Paul was a little bit astonished at what was going on. And none of us can see the heart of anyone else. He doesn't know their true standing in the Lord. Sometimes I don't think, you know, we do, but we recall who did it, and it wasn't anything by us, and that restores, you know, who and where and what we are. And that's what Paul's dealing with here. False teachers come in, and some seem to be drawn away. And there's an interesting dynamic going on here, because where Paul begins his letter, he speaks of how he's astonished. He's marveled at what's happening there. And we'll just look at those verses, and then we'll pick up in verse 10, where we left off last week. Paul said in chapter 1 and verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel." This astonishes me. How could someone do this? I don't know what's going on here. And evidently it wasn't in every case, and it wasn't everyone who had completely turned, but they were being influenced. They were being drawn away. They were being pushed in a different direction. "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another." It's not another of the same kind, he says, "but there be some that trouble you." And that's what Paul's going to deal with in this verse as well. "There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let it be accursed." Sometimes you got to call folks out. You got to point out error. And Paul wasn't averse to doing that. Verse 9, "As we said before, so say I now again, that any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." And verse 10 of chapter 5 kind of reflects back on this earlier portion that Paul already spoke to the saints in Galatia. Now here's the thing to bear in mind as well, and I think we need to remind ourselves of this from time to time. In spite of all that was going on there and what Paul saw the saints were involved in, Paul still holds out hope for the saints in Galatia. You know, he still has hope in them. And not so much in them, as we'll see, but in the Lord. But he holds out hope. He hadn't washed his hands of them. Verse 10, let's read, and then we'll get into looking at it some today. Galatians 5:10. Paul says, "I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be not otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." Paul says to the saints in Galatia, "I have confidence in you through the Lord." What hope he had in them, what confidence he had in them, was not in their own strength and their own faith and their own trust. So someone posted something about, you know, God's trusting God and receiving the benefits of. But God gives a trust. You know, Paul says, "We have confidence in you through the Lord." Through the Lord. Paul knows if a true work was done in their lives, that it was done. He wrote to the saints in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 4. He said, "We have confidence. We have confidence in the Lord touching you." We have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. His confidence wasn't in the saints in Thessalonica. His confidence was in the Lord that touched them. And if he truly touched them, they would do. They would do the things that he called them to do, that he directed them to do. And Paul's going to get into a lot of detail before we're done with this book. You know, Paul told the saints in Galatia, you know, you're not saved by works, you're not saved by deeds, you're not saved by the law. But brethren, if the Lord saves you, it's going to change things. And Paul doesn't want to be misunderstood about that. So he says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. He wrote to the saints in Corinth. Same sort of thing. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 16, Paul said, I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. Listen, if they'd truly been born again by the Spirit of God, that same Spirit will keep them. It doesn't mean, you know, we don't have to struggle, that we don't have to fight the fight. But that's the way God's ordained it. You say, well, you know, it's no better than some of the Armenians I hear. You know, I got saved. I made a decision, so now it don't matter how I live. Well, it'd be just bad for, you know, for those who claim to believe the doctrines of grace, saying, well, God saved me, so now it don't matter how I live. It does matter. And there's no evidence that you've truly been born again if there's no change, if there's no evidence of it. Paul again wrote to the saints in Thessalonica, the verse just before the one we read, and he said this, but the Lord is faithful. But the Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil? The Lord's faithful. It's the Lord that does it. It's the Lord in whom we trust. Jude wrote in the 24th verse of his little letter, Jude 24, he said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Listen, if it were up to me, I would fall every day. I would be undone. But Jude says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Brethren, it's not me, but it's thee. And it's not me in anything, but it's thee, O Lord, in all things. How often we forget that. You know, we have the little problems of life and the inconveniences and the disturbances. And then sometimes we worry and fret. Not when I say we, I don't got a mouse in my pocket. I do. I worry and fret and get an uproar about things. Why? You know, it's all of the Lord. And it comes from his loving hand. And so those that are his, Paul has confidence in them through the Lord. And those that are his, he'll keep. One of the Lord's discourses during his earthly ministry, I think we sang this song off of this verse last week, or maybe the week before. My memory's not so good all the time. But in John 10 and verse 27, the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What a comforting verse is that is. My sheep, you know, and all the Armenians are out there trying to beg these goats to become sheep.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Lord never begged those goats to become sheep. He told them, says, you don't believe because you're not my sheep.
That's right.
He didn't say, well, please, if you all would just believe, then you could be my sheep. He didn't say that. He said, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. And then the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's all of him. And those that are his, he keeps. He goes on in that passage there in verse 28 of John 10. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I give unto them eternal life. They didn't earn it. They don't keep it. I give it to them, and they shall never perish. He doesn't say except or unless or... And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So Paul has confidence in them through the Lord. Those that the Lord had regenerated, those who were truly born again by the Spirit of God. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, in that everlasting covenant, before the world was, and that covenant between the persons of the Godhead. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, that's a pretty good reason to have confidence then, isn't it? Paul says, I have confidence in you. Then the Lord says this, and this is what kind of got some of the folks listening upset. He said, I and my Father are one. Same God. I and the Father are one. So his confidence in the saints there in Galatia, not in them, not in their abilities, not in their faith. The only faith we have that accounts to anything is the faith of Christ that was given to us. Not some human faith you worked up or human trust. I often say, that's not worth spit. And he says to the saints in Philippi, in Philippians 1 and verse 6, Paul said, being confident, that same word, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God began a work, he's going to keep on working it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. That's the only reason we can have confidence in ourselves or in anybody else. Confidence through the Lord. And he goes on, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. Paul says, I think you'll stay the course. And, you know, if you're one of his, I know you will. But I think you're going to stay the course. That you'll be not otherwise minded. Here's what I think. I thought on these things. Of course, we apply them to what happens in our lives and so forth. But perhaps we're too ready sometimes to write folks off. And, you know, we're ready to wash our hands up. Paul was upset with the folks there in Galatia. There's no doubt about that. But he wasn't to the point he was going to wash his hands up. So I'm through with y'all. Go away, don't talk to me anymore. No, Paul had confidence in them. But I don't like to glory in the past, particularly when we're not past and we weren't doing right. But I'll just say a little thing here. My later high school years and through my college years and most of my years in the Marine Corps, I wasn't really walking like I ought to. I wasn't where I should be. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't doing what I ought to be doing. Through my granddad, I got under the hearing of the Word down there in South Florida, and the Lord saved me as a young man. I thought he called me to preach and acknowledged that, but kind of ran from that too. But here I was in college in the Marine Corps, living the way college students and Marines live. And if you don't know what that means, good. But as I was doing that, my grandpa, he never lost confidence. You know, he kept praying for me. I think it was when I graduated from high school that, or sometime along those lines, maybe it's got a date in it. Oh no, this was like in the middle of my college times, on my birthday, when I turned 20. He sent me this Bible. I didn't much care about it then, I just put it away, you know, on the shelf, but I still had it. I can't use it now because it's a new Scofield reference Bible, and I have some differences with Mr. Scofield, and in the new one, they actually changed some words in the King James text, and they put the actual King James in the margin. It's too hard to keep up with it, but that's fine. My granddad, you know, had confidence, and he prayed for me. He gave me this Bible. 1970, I wasn't living like I ought to live. But time came. I think I preached my very first sermon out of this Bible. Might even be some scratches in here. I didn't do too much scratching back then, but I'm not saying it was a great sermon. It's probably even worse than what you're hearing today, but anyway, he had confidence, you know. The Lord had confidence. And then no one else had to know or thank her. Sometimes we give up on people. We need to keep praying and trusting to the Lord. My granddad never beat me over the head with anything or talked to me how I ought to be or what I should be doing. He never did. Well, when I was younger, and then like when I was doing other things, not spiritual things so much. When I was rebuilding the church down there, he'd be telling, but he was an old electrician, so he knew a lot of stuff. But that Bible always says a lot to me. And so Paul didn't give up on these folks. He holds out hope for their strengthening. He holds out hope that they'll ultimately prevail over this introduction of false doctrine. And why? Because like in my life, it was a long course, and it started, you know, with little things and a step at a time. But God, I love that. But God, you know, all this other stuff, bad stuff. Greg wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, and he was doing, you know, but God, and I can't put my finger on exactly where it may started, you know, the Lord, you know, bringing it back by His grace. But a big part of it had to do with meeting that woman back there. As a friend of mine used to talk about, he'd come into the back. He said, that old married woman, that old married woman that I live with. And, but, anyway. And, yeah, she was some Lutheran girl at that point. And neither one of us were in church or cared about much. But it kind of began when I met that woman. Things started changing, so I started paying a little bit more attention in college, and my grades went up and hers went down, but the Lord, you know, has been pleased to give us tomorrow 47 years of marriage together, and we knew each other, you know, through college as well. The Lord used that and an old scuba diving buddy and a whole lot of things. Eventually brought me back into under somewhat of the hearing of the word as I went with a scuba diving buddy into a Southern Baptist church. I was smart enough then. I knew, you know, I wasn't doing what I living like I wanted to, and I didn't want to start living like I should either. But my scuba diving buddy wanted me to come to church with him, and I might need a gulp of air at 90 feet one day. So I said, okay, I'll go to church with you, Jim, because I found out it was a Southern Baptist church. And I figured I can go to a Southern Baptist church. I don't have to worry about being put under conviction or anything like that. You know, I don't have to worry about that stuff. I know the way to, I thought I knew the way those, but the Lord had other ideas. He got a hold of me. But anyway, I don't want to deal so much with me. But the thing is, you know, don't give up hope. The Lord intervened and brought things about. And he does it by his grace. He knows those that are his. I could have been like other folks. I could have died in a drunken stupor. I could have been at the bottom of a pile of rubble in Beirut, like a lot of my friends were. Several of them I knew, they're very close. One fellow came over to the house about every weekend. My XO, when I was CO for a motor transport company for the Marine Corps base. But the Lord had other plans. See? And I'm confident in this. What the Lord's plans are, He's going to bring them about. And so the Lord works in our hearts and lives, and He brings about what He's going to. He knows those that are His. He'll not lose any that are His. And so Paul says, I have confidence in you. Though he knew he couldn't see their hearts. In that passage earlier, he says, you folks amaze me. I marvel at what you're doing, what you're not doing. And so, 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said this. He says, I have hope that none of you will be otherwise minded. You know, that you're gonna receive, you're gonna hold those true things. And like he wrote to the saints in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. Listen, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Paul says, I have confidence that none of you are going to be otherwise minded. You'll keep the ordinances as they were delivered to you. Now, what was the problem here? And this is something that's come up of recent days, and Diane and I have talked about it, and it came up the other day in our devotions and Proverbs. And what Paul just talked about previous to this, when he talked about a little leaven, leaven's a whole lump. Folks, you better be careful of who you run with and who you listen to and who you associate with. You better be careful of those things. Because you can be drawn astray. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, Paul says, be not deceived. Evil communications, and that word speaks as well, companions. Be not deceived. Evil communications, evil companions, corrupt good manners. What was the problem here in Galatia? Well, these false teachers had come in, and they'd received them. They'd listened to them. They'd given them heed. Even as we mentioned before, a young lady we know that was drawn off into ecumenism and the Universal Church and renounced, her independent landmark sovereign grace background because, she got friends, in the Catholics and in the evangelicals and all these other things through her contacts through working in the anti-abortion movement. Well, it's good to be against anti-abortion. Or it's good to be against abortion, not anti-abortion. But you better be careful, who you get close to and spiritually, who you listen to theologically. You can be drawn away. And I remember, again, when I kind of got away from things, I didn't totally renounce where I'd come from, but I tried to embrace the kind of things that when I first went to got back into a Southern Baptist church and Southern Baptist seminary and but I knew better. The Lord had taught me better before. I started hearing these universal church doctrines and denial and mocking of the trail of blood and those things came back. The Lord had put them there. He prepared me for those things. And to stand up and fight for the truth. The ordinances, I delivered them to you. This last I guess it was yesterday even, in Proverbs 13, when Diane and I were doing our devotions, Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You walk with the wise men, you'll be wise. You walk with the fools, you'll be destroyed. Evil communications corrupt good manners. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, it's all the principles, same principle. Paul says, I have confidence in you. I don't think any of you are going to be otherwise minded from the doctrines that were delivered to you. The Lord will certainly keep his elect. I know Paul couldn't look at their hearts. He didn't know without any doubt, you know, who the elect are. But the Lord knows who they are. And the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You know, we have those things. But that doesn't mean sometimes a child of God just looking at himself too much, and he'll wonder about himself.
Right.
And if he doesn't, then I kind of wonder about him, because, man, I seem to get worse and worse every day sometimes. I don't know how that worked. And I do know this. I know less and less every day. I used to know a whole lot more than I do now. I don't know hardly anything. But I know him, and I know he knows those that are his, and I know what he did is finished, is complete, it's going to be done, that he'll keep his elect. And as we already said, from the human perspective, though, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to struggle. From the human perspective, it's going to seem sometimes like it's touch and go. It's going to seem like a supreme struggle. Now, the fact is, he already won the victory. and the conclusion is certain. But the Lord still brings us through the way. And we have to struggle. We have to fight. We have to stand. You know, the Lord could take us from where we are and just bring us up to glory, and nothing in between. That isn't the way he intended it. You know, we're supposed to experience, and we're supposed to grow, and we have to get from here to there. We got to go the path in between. And so beware who you listen to, who you befriend, who you allow to influence you spiritually, theologically. And I'll close with one thought from the Lord on this, along these same topics, about being careful who you listen to. Matthew 24, verse 23, the Lord said this. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or fear, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs. I saw some fellow on the television. I think it was this week. He was doing an interview before the news media, and he was talking to him about various things. But then he looks up and says, "I'm the chosen one." No, he ain't. He ain't even close to being the chosen one. He's a moral reprobate Yankee, but that's a whole other story. But I'm going to tell you, what bothers me, too many of my Christian brethren and my Southern associates, they get angry when I point out the very absolute, obvious truths. They get angry with me. It's scary. And they worship him. And many other things he said, you know, he's chosen one. And folks compare him to Christ. And it's scary. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Now here's the comforting part, and this is why Paul has confidence in them. and why Paul thinks none of them will be otherwise minded. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. There's strong delusion out there. And if it was possible, even the very elect could be deceived. Well, they won't be, because it's not possible. But the Lord said, if it be possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. You know, he's locked in that little altar up at the front of the church because some priest turned that bread into Jesus Christ. Now we got him locked in that altar. And if they say, oh, he's in the secret chambers, that's what they really believe. You know that? That they bow down, they do all that stuff, and they hold up the wafer in a monstrance, and they say, my Lord, my God. They say, well, he's there. No, he's not. Oh, I said, don't believe them. Therefore, if they say unto you, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers. Believe it not. Brethren, be careful. Because you are called to fight, and you are accountable and responsible. God is sovereign, but we're still responsible. Our duty is to obey his revealed will. Now, his decreed will is going to be accomplished. That's not really our business. Our duty is to obey his revealed will. Paul says, I have confidence in you. Because through the Lord. Because it's through the Lord. So, they're accountable, but also, and we'll talk about this next week, they're accountable. But folks, those that are coming in here and spreading false doctrines, woe be unto them. Paul says, but he that troubleth you, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. That's a sobering thought. And there's some sobering thoughts even through Scripture. I mean, even if you're a faithful preacher, it's a sobering thing. It's awe-inspiring thing. Yeah, we're going to give an account. We all are, but those who proclaim the word, more so. Those that are preaching a false word, they're going to be called to account. They're going to bear their judgment. He says, whosoever he be. Don't matter how many football stadiums he can fill up, you know, when he has his rallies or his whatever, how many folks he gets to walk down all those steps and come up front and get sick. None of that's going to matter. Doesn't matter who he is, he's going to bear his judgment, Paul says. And we'll talk a little bit more detail about that, Lord willing, next week. Let's take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 148, Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me. Number 148.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown ways before me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shore. Rock and compass come from me. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother stills her child, thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey thy will. When thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I hear the shore and the fish. peaceful rest. And while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've set aside as yours. The privilege to gather as your people to open your preserved and inerrant word. Lord, we thank you for the apostle and how you used him to write down these things, not only for the saints in Galatia, but for us here today. Father, I pray that by your grace, you might help us to keep true, to walk in your paths, to resist the evil, to stand for the true, for the right. Father, I pray particular this morning to be with Brother Emmanuel, the healing of his eyes, and other health needs that may be present. Lord, I pray you be with us all through this week as perhaps a storm approaches. Lord, we know that's all in your hand. Whether it veers away, whether we endure its brunt. Lord, that you are with your people and save them from the storm or preserve them through the storm. It's no big thing, Lord. You preserve the three Hebrew children in the midst of a fire. Lord, what a wonderful privilege to belong to a sovereign God, to know that you rule and reign, that you work your perfect will in all things. Lord, go with us as we go our way. Thank you, Lord, for the visit of Brother Wayne Gregory. Pray you be with he and his wife as they'll eventually make their way home. Lord, thank you for your everlasting love, for that eternal covenant, for the people that were given to the Son, for his accomplished atonement that purchased them. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.